How many are ready for a word today? I want you to write this down as we get ready. And they set up on the stage for me. Write this down as your takeaway, please. Don't let the hay go to your head. Don't let the hay go to your head. Many times we were reading out of the scriptures, and we're going to begin with a verse that we started with last week, and it's coming out of the book of James. And I want you to take a look at this interesting set of words that were written for you and for me. It begins talking about that we will all go through some form of tribulation. We will all encounter some type of pressure. We will all enter into some type of hurt or confusion. But knowing this truth, in James chapter 1, verse 12, the word of God declares, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried," everybody say tried. Y'all know that word. You look at somebody and say, "You tried me. You tried me. That means someone pushed your buttons," right? And he says, "When every man is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now, the Bible goes on to say, "Let no man say that when he is tried or tempted, that he is tempted of God. Because God doesn't tempt any man, neither can he be tempted with evil." So sometimes we think when negativity happens, oh, this must be God. This must be a sign. This must be God speaking. Come on, somebody. Life happens. Say it with me. Life happens. You can't go and say, "Oh, God's going to kill me. God's against me." No, listen, you will get a flat tire, but God may bring somebody along that needs to know about Jesus, that needs to hear your story, and your flat tire changes their flat life. Hello, somebody. You got to get to a point where you are like me. Every circumstance in your life is a God opportunity. I don't care if it looks bad. It means God is about to do something he's never done before. I don't look at trouble as trouble. I look at trouble like, hey, here comes danger, baby. I'm ready for danger. Come on, danger. I'm ready for you. I love danger because you know what? It gets my blood pumping. It gets my heart racing. Come on. When you have faith in God, it requires your heart to be always pumping with God. It requires your faith to be working. Who wants a born Christianity? How do you know who God is? The only way you're going to know who God is if you see him move in what you're going through. You will be tried. But don't let the head go to your head. Now I'm going to read on what the word says. I want you to go down and we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to go to verse 10. Verse 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it begins, "Anyone who builds on that foundation," remember that verse is, "anyone who builds on that foundation." Amen. All right. Let's look what it says. It says, "Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like a," change the verse, "like a wise," let me tell you what it's going to say, "wise master builder." And it says, "but who's an expert builder? None others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay a foundation under the other than that which was laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, we get to this very important point. Anyone, find that verse right there where it says it. Anyone who builds, find that verse. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of what? Materials. They can use gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. In other words, when you become a believer in Christ, every one of you have a golden foundation. You have a golden opportunity to be the best you that you can be. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he takes away all of your sins, everything you've done wrong, way from the past, and he washes it, and he puts in you his Holy Ghost so that you don't make the same mistakes you made before. Now you have the Holy Spirit in you to help prevent you from falling to your flesh. Now each of you have a golden foundation on which your foundation was laid. Jesus Christ and him crucified. No better foundation you can get it. Now you may have gotten it in Sunday school. You may have gotten it at summer camp. You may have gotten it on church on Sunday. You may have gotten it from a friend who knew the word. You may have gotten it on your knees next to your bed. I don't care how you got it. But if you got it, you ought to shout amen. Oh, no, no. Let me try it again. If you got it, shout amen. Let the world know who you are. Now, here's where it becomes important to understand the scripture. Because the scriptures talk about we can build on that golden foundation with many materials. You have a choice to make on what kind of material you're going to build on that foundation that you got saved by. I want you to look at these options, ladies and gentlemen. I am a broker of many options. I would like for you to look at our top model. It is a 12-inch model with golden arms, legs, and face. And it stands on its own. It's solid. It's strong. It is one of the higher priced models. It is very expensive and very valuable. Next down the line is our everyday model, but not everyday, is our silver model. I mean, it's really valuable material, very expensive. And I would say if you could get to silver, you've done a good job. But ladies and gentlemen, it's just not gold and silver. No, no, no. We have precious rubies. In other words, these are precious jewels and diamonds. You can build upon your faith enough of the word where you glimmer like rubies and diamonds and, you know, just horseshoes. I mean, anyway. Okay. You can look like Lucky Charms in the spirit. And then, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't do a whole lot of work and you just like being in church and you're a good church going person and you just like people liking people, then I have a model just for you. It's the wooden model. It's just wood. You're made out of wood. That's all it is. But it's kind of plain. But hey, nobody can tell the difference. You look like the others, but you really aren't very valuable, but you're taking up space. God bless you. Then we've got this model. Now, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't recommend this model. Now, we do sell it, but it is not a very popular model, and it doesn't last very long. In a little bit, you'll be needing another hay happening in your life. This is what we call a scarecrow. Anybody ever seen a scarecrow before? Of course you have. It's right here. It's a scarecrow. Scarecrows If you've ever seen the a movie or anything about Scarecrow, they're scary. They're just scary people. They believe, but you were designed to scare somebody else. But you always jumping because you are always scared. You got that look on your face like something is wrong. You got the hat, you got the plaid, you got even the baggy pants. But ladies and gentlemen, you have a gold foundation as well. But the problem with hay is if you get tempted by fire, because I said every Christian is going to be tried by fire. It doesn't matter whether you think you're gold. It doesn't even matter whether you are the bedazzled Christian. You got bling bling for days. You come to church, you look good, you got your hair together, you got your shoes together, you got that nice car, everybody thinks you're important, but you just a bedazzled Christian. You got bling bling, but you ain't got the thing thing on your inside. Listen, I'm not asking you, I'm not saying to you to choose a lesser. I'm telling you, if you're going to go for the gold, go for the gold. Hello, somebody. That means don't settle for silver. Let me ask you a question. Who was the silver medal winner in last year's Olympics for swimming? Exactly. Nobody knows. Nobody knows who comes in second. No one knows who's got the silver. Why? Because they only know who got the gold. Ladies and gentlemen, silver ain't enough for you. Wood ain't enough for you. But I want to start with this hay. If you remember a while ago, when we talk about building on a foundation, it's talking about how much are you allowing that word in your life. And a person that's full of hay has no word. They just stuff it with stuff so they can appear normal. But when you have a head full of hay, you got a problem. Remember that song? If I only had a brain. Right? The scarecrow kept saying, I could be so many things in this world if I only had a. You could be incredible if you allow that word to sit down on the inside of you, and you could have the brain, the mind. He said, let this mind be in you that was also where? In Christ Jesus. In other words, there is a point where you have to let not just to have a foundation, but what do you have? Can you withstand fire, gossip, back talk? Can you withstand when someone talks about you, when they make fun of you? Can you stand when they are laughing at you, when they laugh at your Christianity, when they laugh at your walk in God? Can you stand the heat? There's something very important about this hay man, because the problem with hay, it has the lowest temperature of combustion when it comes to fire. At 130 degrees, that thing will catch on fire. Ladies and gentlemen, every one of these has a different temperature that it will combust. Meaning when it goes under fiery trial, it won't catch on fire at the same degree this one will. This takes a little bit more. This takes a little bit more. This takes a little bit more. And this takes the ultimate. And I want to ask you, how much do you want to be able to stand a fiery trial? Which one do you want to be? Hay or gold? How many want to be gold? Listen to me. Everything can go wrong in your world. Just like it went wrong with that example. Just like it went wrong with you can even take her face off the screen. Just take her away. Everything can go wrong, but can you stand the pressure? This doesn't impress me. This doesn't make me. A mistake doesn't break me. No, I'm built with stronger material. Do you understand? If someone talks about me, it don't burn me. If someone want to walk on me, it don't burn me. You want to gossip about me, it don't burn me, because I ain't made out of hay. Don't let hay go to your head, because when you got nothing but hay, you don't know how to handle problems. What does a person with hay in their head, how do they handle problems? The first thing they're going to do is they want to bring somebody else into the fire. Because you can't be around hay and not get burnt when it's on fire. Hello, somebody. It's going to try to draw you into the heat. It's going to try to say, hey, listen, come on in. Help burn with me. I don't like being the only one burnt. It's called gossip. You remember the old story? They said, you know, the pig made the house out of hay. And he says, oh, man, I got a house. I'm straight. But what did the wolf do? No. He did what? Oh, see, y'all all, no, you got to do it like, and he huffed, and he puffed, and he blew the house. How many know there's wolves among us that's trying to blow your house down? Listen to me. There are people that will talk about you, and if you can't handle that, they'll blow your little hay house away. Somebody say, hey. See, you got to be built of something stronger. A person that's in a hay house, they're always afraid of fiery trials. They're always saying, man, I can't handle no trouble. I don't like conflict. I can't handle it. Listen, God said, be strong and of good courage, for I have commanded you to take this land. You can't be timid and be a straw man. You can't. He said, stir up the gift that is in you, which was given you by the laying on the hands. You can't be a scarecrow when it comes to the enemy coming after you. You can't wait on somebody else to come save you. You got to have something in you to protect you. And my question is, what's in you? Is it hay? Silver? Gold? What's in you? You know, it's funny. People say, well, I got the Holy Ghost. I got saved and got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got more. Out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. The problem with that is that hay will combust more when it's wet. A Holy Ghost filled, soggy saint that don't know the word can do more damage than anybody else. They so Holy Ghost driven, but they don't know enough of the word. They start drawing people away. Why? Because they don't even have what it takes to withstand a fire. Ladies and gentlemen, out of these four, you've got to make a decision what foundation you're going to build upon. I want to show you what the Bible says that we should think like. For the Bible gives us a understanding on how we should react. Because I understand that hay is good for about four things. Hay is for horses. It's good for making bricks, like it was in the Old Testament. It's great for fall decoration. And it's good for fire. Let me say something. If you're full of hay, you're designed for fire. You got to get past that foundation and begin to build on your truth. You can't hide behind that. I want you to take a look in the word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. Why can you not stay at the hay stage? Why is that? It says this, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from good news so that you will be fully prepared. But look at verse 16. In addition to all of these, hold up the what? A shield of faith to stop what? Listen to me. the arrows of the devil are on fire. But if your faith is built out of hay, no matter what you do, you're not going to make it. Here's the good news, guys. Listen, what am I saying to you? You got to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got to get to the point where that word is so alive in you that when the enemy comes, you don't get knocked off easy. You don't let people knock you off. It's not easy to burn you. You've got to say, listen, I've been through hell and fire and I'm still here and you can't move me. If I'm committed to something, I ain't moving. Hello, somebody. How many are committed to God today? Listen now, that means you can't walk away from God when it gets hot. When you don't understand is what a hay man does. It's a person that says, I don't understand why God doing this to me. So I'm about to dip because I don't understand. Listen, you can't run. You got to be able to stand your ground when the fiery darts come. Look at verse 17. Look at this. Verse 17 says, in Ephesians 16, it says, put on salvation as your helmet and take on the what? Sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. Let me ask you, how much are you in your word? Seriously. Because there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 levels you can build to. And believe me, I can see the difference in people's lives. And it's sad when the hay is what you got in your house. Because everything burning. And you hear nothing but complaining and mumbling because it's too hot in the house. And no matter how much water we put on that hay, it just gets worse. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what the word tells us to do. If you would, I want you to go to, in your Bibles, please, go to 1 Chronicles 21:1. And it tells you what the enemy's going to do. This was King David. He was one of God's best men. And he was given instruction never to count the children of Israel before God. Never take a moment and count what God has given you. He says, just absorb it, take it, because if you start counting what you got, you're going to start worrying when it disappears. Hello, somebody. You got to be content whether you can see it or you can't see it. And he told David, don't ever count how many people follow you in your kingdom. And here's what happened in 1 Corinthians. We find that that didn't take place. 1 Corinthians 21:1 says, Satan rose up against Israel and caused David to take a census of the people of Israel. The first thing that ended up happening was that David became afraid he was going to lose what he had. So he began to count and disobey God. Ladies and gentlemen, I need you to understand something today. Don't lose what you have because you're afraid of it. Some of us are so afraid of losing it that it causes us to lose it. You want to hoard it. You want to keep it. You want to hold on to it. You can't take the fiery darts. And so you start saying, I'm going to hold on to my position, and you actually lose it. That's not how God intended for us to do this. In fact, the word goes on a little bit further. And he says something in this, Joshua 1:8. Go to Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. I want you to write this down. Joshua 1:8. Are we there? Let's all read together. Go. Stop right there. It says, study the book of instruction, what? Continually. Meditate on it, what? Not just at nighttime. You know that time when you're half asleep? And you're laying down on the bed and you start to fall asleep. No. It's got to be the time where you're at your best strength. Study it day and night. And he says, watch this. Everything, and be sure to obey everything written in it. Meaning it's not just a matter of saying you know the word. Do you obey it? The life of the word comes alive when we obey it. I tell people all the time, Matthew 5, Luke 6. I studied Luke 6 on the way home, all the way to Cincinnati one time, and I memorized the entire chapter. That was the day my entire Christianity turned around. Because not only did I know the will of the Father, but I began to take it and obey it. And all of a sudden, I started seeing signs and wonders. I went home, and my aunt had an ulcer, and I went and put my hand on her side, and I prayed for her. And she said, boy, where are you coming from? He said, you got power or something? The pain is gone. It's because the word became alive to me. It wasn't just something to know. It was something to do. Study in the word both day and night. Meditate on it day and night. What does it mean to meditate? Meditate is like taking a ice cube and you toss it in your mouth and you just roll it around until it begins to melt and becomes a part of who you are, and it refreshes your soul. But it's like taking a word and thinking on it all day long. One word, just thinking on it. Meditate on it day and night. And then what will happen? Verse 9. Watch this. Verse 9. It says this. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever. If you are in the word, then the power of God goes with you wherever you go. Today, I want to just say this. My heart goes out to the church, because for so long, we've made church a place where we just come and listen on a Sunday. But my heart to you is this. God didn't save you for Sunday. He didn't save you to pick sides. He didn't save you to get in the middle of conflict and chaos. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. He puts you in the earth that you might have an answer for those people that are around you. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you were the answer to someone's problem? How many want to be the answer to someone's problem? This is where life begins. Choosing to ignore the fiery darts of the enemy and not biting the bait, not taking the bait of Satan of, oh, here's a conflict. Well, let me put my 2 cents in. Keep your pennies in your pocket. You don't have to fight. You don't have to fuss. The Lord will take up your battle. He will fight for you. He will defend you. You just stay where you are. You study his word. You stay in his word. You pray and you ask him in private. He'll reward you in the open. But if we begin to try to take it into our own hands, that's where everything begins to fall apart. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you to really think about this as we move forward in this message. Will you allow God to make you something more than hay? Will you take the word into your heart and memorize it and let it become a part of you so that you can be a blessing to someone else? There are people right now hurting, and they're looking for someone with a word in due season. See, a word in due season is medicine to people's souls. And my question is, if you ain't never got a title, if no one ever gave you a title to your name, would you be willing to be used by God to be medicine to someone's soul? There are people in this city right now dying because they don't know Jesus. There are some of your friends, if you would just open up and invite, they would come and know Jesus. There are people in your family that if you stood and weren't afraid to be bold about Jesus in your life, and you're not afraid to say what's right, that they will come to know Christ in a way that they've never known before. But you have to make a decision. I'm not going to live my life like hay. I'm going to be gold all the way through and through. Would you stand to your feet, please?